The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio. I don't even know where to start. let's start by welcoming everybody to Rant EM Radio's WrestleMania 30 post show. We're going to be on the air for the next 2 hours discussing everything that went down at the Showcase of Immortals there at the Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana. And I'm Double A, being joined on this packed panel. We'll be taking your calls throughout the night. Surfer, Tony C, Rage, William Morgan, and Lee from Baltimore. There's a lot to talk about, and I think a lot of people are still stunned. A lot of people are still elated. A lot of people. I mean, there's just a rash of emotions going on right now. Your calls, we'll take them. 954-889-RANT, 954-889-7268, Double A the Rant, all one word on Skype. I don't even know where to start.
You're going to have to be the intervention hotline tonight, Double A.
I think what we're going to do here is we're going to try to be as organized as possible, because I expect a lot of conversation, a lot of calls to come in. The chat room is active. All the feeds are active, Twitter, Facebook, things like that. And this is, you know, we're capping off a full weekend here of coverage for this network. We're right now broadcasting hour 15. And I tell you, actually, no, it's more like hour 17 at this point. Mm-hmm. And I guess what we need to say first and foremost is we're going to do a blanket statement for this. This, despite what may have happened, this probably was, and we have to let this digest at least for 24 hours before I guess we can formulate a final opinion, that this was the best WrestleMania to come down the pike probably in at least six to ten years. We're talking going all the way back to WrestleMania 20. There's, you know, 21, 22, 23, but really we're talking that this WWE blew this one out of the park. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah.
They may want people going to remember.
Lee, what do you think? Because you're silent in the background, and I know I know that.
I needed a moment. I needed time to really
to formulate yourself.
Yeah, because I was trying to figure out what was going on, and I had to eat a lot of my words on some stuff. And I said, you know, they definitely said that. I remember somebody saying, you know, this, we're gonna make sure it's a WrestleMania that you will remember. And I was like, okay, whatever. And they did it.
Now let's start with the obvious thing, the blaring obvious thing, that everybody's biggest fear went unanswered. Mm-hmm. The stream worked.
Now mine froze on me a few times.
Mine froze a lot.
Wait a minute. For the majority of the audience, the stream worked. Now, there's going to be there's going to be instances, depending on the devices that you're using, the computers, things like that. But for the most part, I can go on record in saying that the feed, at least on my end, with the exception of one or two instances where the feed skipped for a fraction of a second, the feed was flawless.
My Kindle was flawless. My laptop froze a lot.
It probably was the device, because on the iPad everything was kosher. On the Roku it was kosher. Anybody else have any grief? You know, Surfer, you said you're skipped a few times. What's a few?
About 3-4 times.
That's not enough to complain. William.
My computer froze up several times, but my cell phone was perfect.
Well, there you go. But we know you got computer issues. Rage?
Viewing method was the PS4, and it was next to flawless.
Tony C?
Don't ask me. My whole internet was acting crazy. So.
All right. So the general consensus is we were flawless on the stream. Everything went. There was no. Okay, let's put it this way. There was no massive calamity.
No.
WWE got it right. They proved to the world tonight that they are changing the medium, and it can be done. And at $10, WWE gave you one hell of a show. There's a lot of people listening in. If you're listening to us on TuneIn Radio, whether you're listening to us on the go, you're listening to us on the website, please take part of the chat room. A lot of discussion going on right now. And if you want to call in, 954-889-7268, 954-889-7268, AA The Rant, all one word on Skype. I want to go around the room and I guess we have to talk about what everybody's still reeling on right now, that the streak is over.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar defeated The Undertaker. And if you need me to repeat that, I will. Brock Lesnar defeated The Undertaker. The Beast defeated the streak, conquered the streak. JBL had a very good line, or Michael Cole, or somebody, it was one of the announcers, prior to the match, had a great line. And I'm not saying that it was because of Paul Heyman, but this solidified Paul Heyman as the greatest wrestling manager of all time.
You know what? That was part of double thumb to the eye of CM Punk.
That's true. It was a shot at CM Punk. I will agree with you there. Okay. Initial reaction. Let's start one by one. Initial reaction, let's start with Surfer.
It just solidifies the fact that I thought The Undertaker should have retired 2 years ago when he went 20-0.
Yep.
Tony C.
If anybody deserved to do it, it was the Beast.
Oh,
he eats, he ate, he said, hey, can I say my piece? He ate, he slept, he got his right amount of rest, and then he conquered.
Man,
that's what it takes.
Did you think your ankle was jumping in that bandwagon?
What a trolly C he is.
Hey, Rage, your boy won a title, and nobody talking about that. Who are they talking about?
Man, if had there been flies in that stadium, man, I tell you, a lot of people would have been walking home with flies in their stomach. I mean, the miles in that place, it was like
all the ticket marks. How that taste?
It was like a famine, and people were starved, and just miles were just open begging for food.
The air was gone. Totally sucked out of the.
The air was gone.
That match was placed at the wrong spot for that.
You should have went last.
If that was going to happen, yeah. Now,
I'm so happy Taker lost because now I have to watch his old decrepit ass next year.
No, but wait a minute. Hold on. Let's let's use a little decorum here in terms of the situation. Your initial reaction, William?
I was happy. I was happy about the program in general. I was happy to see Taker loss, and I don't know why. Yeah, from a business standpoint, it may have been bad because WWE probably would have made more money if it was John Cena who beat the streak. But let's look at it from this standpoint. He may not be the most accomplished wrestler in WWE, but Brock Lesnar is the most accomplished athlete that's been in the ring with Taker more than anybody.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah, I don't agree with that at all.
Yeah, everybody's saying about John Cena next year. You're assuming that maybe The Undertaker will want to come back next year. Maybe he doesn't want to.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I want to finish getting everybody's reaction here. Rage.
You know, it's really hard. It's really hard to just think of what to say at this point right now, because I keep saying this, when the mat, when his hand, the ref's hand hit the mat that third time, like, my stomach just dropped, and I was just sitting there, like, I'ma really need, like, at least a month to digest this, because
this was
the swerve of all swerves. I mean, honestly, look, CM Punk, that whole thing is gone. Like, I know that he's severed his ties with WWE. Okay. Daniel Bryan won. I'm happy about that. It sucks that he got his moment, but he had to follow Taker losing. So, you know, I really have no idea what to say.
So, okay.
I mean, and I wanted Taker's streak to lose. I wanted Taker's streak to end, but when it finally happens, you're just stunned.
I don't know about that. Lee,
I don't know.
Initial reaction.
initial reaction when it happened was I was shocked. Well, at first when it happened and the music didn't play and they just panned to the audience and even like the announcers, they seemed like they couldn't believe it, which I don't think, you know, I was like, first off, okay, was Taker supposed to kick out? Because they didn't play music. It was just, everybody was like, what's going on? It was just silence, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, eventually they went on and played the music. Undertaker was just laying there. And I was like, okay, are they just going along with it because he lost and that's all they could do? I mean, you can't come back from that. And even Paul Heyman looked shocked. I mean, but you can never really tell with a lot of people. You can't tell with Paul Heyman because he does it so well what he does. So at that point, I was like, okay, I guess this is real. But then I said, you know, Brock Lesnar was not deserving of being the one.
He had a shock look on his face too.
I know what you're saying. I'm still finishing my thought. I was just saying that Brock Lesnar, I just feel like he wasn't deserving of it. Like, if they were going to do this, they could have had somebody else do it. But I'm not going to get into that because I stated the reason why I didn't believe Brock should have won before. But, you know, I guess they have their reasons, and Taker obviously must have agreed to it or whatever. So, you know, I mean, it is what it is. But, I mean, I don't know what this does for Brock Lesnar, someone who doesn't give a damn about the business as far as I'm concerned, or what this does for The Undertaker. Because now, whoever he fights at wrestles at WrestleMania, who cares now?
Well, that's what I think. My initial reaction is I was shocked because I'm not shocked so much that the streak has ended. I'm shocked with who it ended with. And of all people, I think the worst choice was Brock Lesnar. Mm-hmm. And because, like Lee said, he doesn't give a damn about the business. And we have to be all. But let's say this. Are we all in agreement that this would not have happened unless Undertaker agreed to it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
I, yeah.
Okay. Totally. So this is not This is not WWE screwing The Undertaker. This is not Brock Lesnar getting a one-up on The Undertaker or a botch happening in the ring. No. Undertaker agreed for this to happen. For The Undertaker to agree for this to happen tells me The Undertaker is done.
Oh, he's done.
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree.
And this is Brock's moment. This is Brock's WrestleMania moment right here.
Is this Undertaker's last match? Remains to be seen. Is it his last match at WrestleMania? There's a strong chance that could be the point. That
what's
could
the purpose the for him now? Is what I mean. I, like, if he comes back and even beats Brock Lesnar, it's not. It doesn't matter.
No, but I don't. I don't think. I don't think he'll. I think that that match with Sting is still going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen at WrestleMania now.
Who's going to care?
I just know, but that's the thing. I don't think it'll happen at WrestleMania now.
I don't think it'll ever.
It'll happen at SummerSlam or whatever. Could happen on Monday Night Raw for all we know.
I think Cena could have used that. Cena really could have. That really could have been the one thing. You had Hogan, The Rock, and Stone Cold in the ring today, and Cena could have been the one man that did what none of them were able to do.
I think. WWE. WWE played the audience
perfectly
today with that swerve.
That was bad.
Because here's the thing. Love it or hate it, the world is talking. Wait a minute. The world is talking. And tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, you are going to get one of the highest rated Raws in many years.
Yep.
And I hope it was worth it. I hope it was worth it. And I hope the follow-up is worth it.
We're going to find out tomorrow night what exactly is going to happen. WWE better have the future planned out, because tomorrow, technically, is a brand new day in the WWE for many reasons.
Undertaker powers of somebody else.
For many reasons.
Big Taz and The Brock.
Well, no, because I don't know. I have to digest this situation still. But I think tomorrow is going to be one of those nights that if WWE does not lay the foundation of the future properly, we're in trouble.
That's what I'm scared of. I'm scared that they did. I mean, that was my whole argument. The whole thing about Triple H winning, it wasn't so much. It was the fact of they. Where does the things go from here? Where's, you know, WrestleMania isn't the end. WrestleMania is supposed to be a new beginning.
So, I mean,
I think now you got to get Brock Lesnar going for the title. Okay. He broke the streak.
Now, Patrick,
but you know what? He did that, but I mean, he lost to John Cena. He lost to Triple H.
He broke all that is outweighed by him beating Undertaker.
Pastor Sedellin,
he did what something nobody else could do.
Pastor Sedellin in the chat room says, "Do you think Undertaker called the ending to the match in the ring?"
I'm wondering if he did. I'm wanting to get the shock value, maybe only Vince, and maybe only Vince, Triple H, and Undertaker knew. Maybe that's, I mean, because everybody looks shocked. You get that reaction. Everybody looks shocked.
Now, okay, we're going to theorize here, okay? Because today we've got time to screw around a little bit with analyzing than we normally do on a normal post-show. Do we think that this was a la Bash at the Beach 1996, where nobody knew what happened until it happened?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe assumption.
Yeah.
I mean, we all went
into this with very low expectations, though.
Well, no. I don't know about low expectations. Yeah. I mean, that serves WWE injustice, because here's the thing. There was a lot, despite the outcomes of the matches, there was a lot riding on the WrestleMania in general, because it was the first WrestleMania on the network. And it's just, you hoped that even though you may not have gotten the outcomes you wanted, you were expecting to have quality matches, which top to bottom, the matches were good. Were some of the matches better than others? Absolutely. But was there a bad match?
No.
That Divas match.
That Divas match.
Well, you know what? What do you expect? But that, you know what? That's expected. It wasn't going to be
perfect. I thought they were going to be the tag title match. And that, they could have switched those two out.
Yeah. Right. That Divas match could have been pre-show.
Yeah. 540. Yeah. 540. You're on the air.
Yeah, this is Ken Hewlett from the chat room.
What's going on?
Yeah, we were watching. I was going on the Facebook page, and somebody said that Taker said something to Brock right before that last F5. Like, I didn't rewind it to check because I didn't want to mess up the feed on the network. Mm-hmm. But he said something to him, and then it just ended. So it's possible he called it in the ring.
Now, here's my thing. I think Brock hurt the Undertaker in the match.
I think so, exactly.
And that was one of my biggest fears, because I actually think, and I'll tell you exactly where it happened. When Brock on the outside pushed the Undertaker over by his legs.
Okay.
Because it pulled. We got to remember he had what was it, hip replacement surgery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think there was a joint out of alignment or out of place or something. Mm. And I think Brock just pushed him down so hard and was still holding up of that leg that was high up in the air. And it just, I think the Undertaker just didn't think he was going to bend in such a way. And maybe the Undertaker was feeling it during the match.
But you've always said.
I've always said what?
But you've always.
Out of the health, he slammed him twice. He could have hurt it there too.
That's true.
But you've always said, Double A, that Brock is just...
Oh, no, he's careless in the ring.
He's
careless in the ring. There's no debate there. I'm not justifying anything here on Brock's behalf, because he's a careless person in the ring and always has been.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't want to believe that it was called during the match. I want to believe that this was decided in advance, that maybe Undertaker mulled over the decision for weeks and decided, I'm ready
to let it go.
Yeah.
And
he's going to be 50 next year. I mean, how long can he keep doing this?
It's not even that. You know what? The age is not even the issue. The health isn't there.
The health isn't there. He could just left and not come back, though. I mean, I just... Brock Lesnar, and I know it's Brock Lesnar fans, but when you look at it at the end of the day, a certain type of person should have been the one to end it. You just don't that's a championship. You don't hand that off to anybody.
It shouldn't even get to this point, though, Lee.
I've been saying that, William. I've been saying that on your show, mm-hmm. and everybody kept telling me, you know, well, he can keep going, he's Undertaker, and I said, no, when he was 20 and 0, he should have stopped.
Exactly. And then the thing is, Brock Lesnar will be gone in a year. Himself and then
don't sell it. Okay, now you selling what Brock did. Okay?
Look, Brock Lesnar.
It's not a matter if he want to walk away in a year, let him walk away. But as of tonight,
you lose to somebody that's going to take it forward. That it means that springboards their career, or it's a defining achievement of somebody great. But Brock Lesnar, okay, he's going to walk with his money, and that's going to be it.
That's going to be it. And you know what? And you know what? Brock is going to leave sooner than we think.
Brock, I don't know. If he would have lost to anybody else, I would have been happy.
I don't want to do this no more.
He could have lost to Vince. He could have lost to Shawn Michaels. He could have lost to Triple H. He could have lost to John Cena. Brock Lesnar? No.
Exactly, it's who you lost to that makes it just like really.
I know, right? But WWE, and that's why I truly believe.
I mean,
this had to have been planned out.
You look at Brock's championships and accomplishments; they're pretty good.
Wait.
I understand what you're saying, but at the same point, it's not like Brock is a slouch.
No,
he's from Hammondaga. I get what you guys are saying. Business wise, it sucks. I understand what you're saying. That point, it does suck. Because, like Lee said, this is a championship that was handed to him, and he's not going to do a damn thing with it. But this not overlook the accomplishment of what Brock did and what he did before this match even started.
What did Brock do? No, I'm saying, what has Brock Lesnar done that we can't name at least five or six people that have done better?
That's true.
Look at his... Look, just
be the youngest WWE champion.
Look at his career.
So Randy Orton.
Look at his collegiate career. Look at what
no,
he did
but that's outside. That's outside. That's
look
outside.
Look at what he did for MMA.
No, that's outside. That's WWE, outside. William.
And
that's,
if you're looking at and look at what he did over in Japan, even Ohio Valley was
doesn't
a
have doesn't have
WWE.
Doesn't have anything to do. I agree
he
with Lee in that
streak.
Sense.
That's what he did.
He ended the streak, and that's it. Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
The under
Brock Lesnar. Hold on. Hold on. Let me clarify something that Lee said. Because I agree wholeheartedly with Lee on this, because here's the thing. We think of Brock as this long-tenured WWE superstar and this and that. But I'm going to give you the dates that Brock came and left the WWE. Brock debuted in the WWE the night after WrestleMania 18 in 2002, and his final night in the WWE was WrestleMania 20 in 2004. He was in the WWE exactly 2 years. He accomplished a lot in those 2 years, had a massive feud with The Undertaker, but he primarily feuded with people that were going to make Brock look good. Undertaker, Big Show, Kurt Angle, and that was about it. His matches with Bob Holly, John Cena, and things like that, nobody remembers, nobody cares about, and that's it. He had one match with Eddie Guerrero that was decent, that made Eddie Guerrero a superstar. But outside that...
He did put Eddie over.
Brock...
He was on the way out, though. So.
Brock was came in as a top guy, he went out as a top guy, and his tenure was short.
Let's not forget the donkey he had with Goldberg.
Yeah, that was
Brock Lesnar was handed the world from the time he stepped foot in there, and he walked away from it. They talk shit about The Rock leaving. The Rock fulfilled his contract. Brock Lesnar said, "I'm leaving."
He flat out told WWE he told him to take a hike, and that's it. And Brock.
Matter of fact, AA, he said he didn't want to. Okay, he said he wanted to go play football. Then he didn't want to do that anymore. Then he went to Japan because decided he wanted to wrestle again.
No, he went to the NFL and got cut. He got cut.
But still,
he couldn't make the Vikings.
But still, he woke up. He woke up from one morning to the next and decided he didn't want to be a WWE superstar anymore.
Brock does what Brock wants to do.
And that's fine. That's fine.
In the street,
but here's the thing, the cornbread fed boy from that small town in North Dakota, left the WWE in 2004, and in came this guy that I don't know. The Brock Lesnar that's in the WWE today is not the Brock Lesnar from 10 years ago. Here's a guy. He's the only guy. He's the only guy. The only one. Okay, that walks into the WWE with sponsors on his attire. He's the only one that is doing this for the MON. I can't say he's the only one doing it for the money, but he's the only one that is openly doing it. Just
he
for
like
the money.
That Jimmy John's double A. Nothing wrong with that.
You know, and I can sit here all night and day and bitch and moan about The Rock and my problems with The Rock, but Brock is only there for Brock Lesnar. He doesn't give a damn.
He legitimately doesn't give a shit about.
He doesn't give a damn about you. He doesn't give a damn about The Undertaker. He doesn't give a damn about the WWE.
One thing,
and he doesn't give a damn whether or not he wins, loses.
That's one thing. All he cares about. That's one thing I'll give The Rock is that whether he's part time or not, he still respects the business enough, and he just my God, like.
No,
I don't appreciate how AA compares Brock Lesnar to a NASCAR.
When it comes to this, I can appreciate The Rock now being just.
I'm gonna tell you something.
Maybe one of them should get smart and get some advertising.
I've talked about this. Hold on. I talked about this when it happened. Because I actually, if I remember, I did the post show for Extreme Rules in 2012 when it was the match against John Cena and Brock Lesnar. That match was probably the most upsetting match I've ever seen in my life, because it's not so much that John Cena got his ass handed to him. It's that Brock...
That was more than that. He almost killed John Cena.
That's the problem. That's the problem I have. He almost killed John Cena in the ring that night, and he didn't care. And whether or not the match was supposed to be a shoot or whatever, but Brock almost killed John Cena that night. And I watched that match, and I was upset afterwards. I was upset.
Before the match. Remember before the match, they had that scuffle where he busted John Cena?
And I said, I was screaming during the match, enough already, enough, enough. I was in the chat room. I was screaming, enough, enough, enough.
Yeah.
It was...
Prove a point to him. I could beat your ass any point, any time.
I don't know.
Within an inch of your life.
Mm-hmm. I was saying, and my the line I used tonight was a line that Bobby Heenan said in 1996. What happens to us? What happens now to the WWE? What's going to happen now that Brock Lesnar ended what is... I'm going to go on record and I'm going to say it. The streak was the biggest prize in wrestling. Other, you know, not even the WWE title.
Exactly. Bigger than titles.
Tonight it proved that that streak was bigger than those titles.
Let me play devil's advocate for a second.
And here's the thing, and I don't mean to cut you off, William. And that's it. It's done. It's over with. It'll never happen again. And if it does, and if it does happen again, we now have to wait a minimum of 22 years.
Yep. The way that match was going, if Taker would have won, but Brock gave a good match, because that was a good match before the ending. Would you still have an issue with Brock whatsoever?
I got an issue with Brock.
There seems to be a lot of Brock hate.
No, that's the thing. I got an issue with Brock, period.
About his paper.
That's the thing. I have a problem with Brock in general. But the problem is I wasn't as vocal with Brock because, you know, there was so many people coming in doing the same thing. Batista, The Rock, Brock Lesnar. So it's like I can only scream the same. We'll use the word rhetoric. Sure. Rhetoric. I can only scream the same rhetoric so many times. Listen, I do a 2.5-3 hour show on Tuesday nights. And I'm not going to say the same thing 3 times in a row.
Well, I'll say this. I don't have a problem with Brock Lesnar personally. The reason why I brought all those things up is my reason. I have to justify my reasons. I'm just not going to say I don't think he was the one. I'm giving reasons why I feel like he's not the person. You know what I'm saying? Brock Lesnar, I've never, you know, I mean, everything else I've said, we all know that. Brock not being safe in the ring. Hell, Ryback isn't either. You know what I'm saying? That's all given. But the thing is that, you know, I've said it from the beginning. I just said it right before Mania started. That the only person I felt was worthy at this point in time would have been that's active, you know, is John Cena. That's it. Because nobody else, you know, is John Cena would at least take this, and it's something that could have put him on a different level. If they want to make this dude one of the biggest WWE superstars on that level with Hulk Hogan and Stone Cold, he needed to do something that was that they hadn't done.
Here's
Brock
the thing, though.
Glow tonight.
Nothing for Brock Lesnar. That don't put Brock Lesnar on that level.
And here's
just
the thing:
Brock Lesnar did that don't put him there.
And now, if Brock, let's say
for
Brock
one
wins,
night it does.
Now if Brock wins the WWE title, it's not going to mean anything.
Oh. Nope. But
end of story.
He'll just be the champ.
So, all you right.
Think they gave Brock the streak just to, so he doesn't get the title? You think it was a trade-off?
No, they're going to give him the title on top of that.
People aren't really talking about that. All right. The thing is this, I don't think the big deal, the big talk of the fact is people are more so talking that The Undertaker lost more so than, yay, Brock Lesnar won.
Exactly.
And if they're talking about Brock Lesnar, if they're talking about Brock Lesnar at all connected to this, is the fact that he shouldn't have been the one. But if anyone's saying, yay, is Brock Lesnar, you're the only one, Tony C. You're the only one.
That's fine.
Here's that.
I care, Banner.
Here's the thing.
I'm building that island.
Now we talked about the betting odds earlier in the night during the on the rant earlier this afternoon.
Oh yeah.
If you bet on Brock Lesnar,
you made money.
I don't know why anybody bet on a wrestling match.
But no, there wouldn't be betting odds out there if people had not been betting on it.
On a predetermined outcome. Okay.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you know what, Surfer, if you let's say I don't know. If you could bet on okay, the next car coming down the street is going to be a red car. You're going to find a gambler who's going to put a bet on that. They bet on everything. So wrestling matches are no different. Even though the wrestling matches are predetermined, the people that are placing those bets don't have access to those results unless the script gets leaked.
That may be true, but when something's predetermined and everybody's putting their money on one thing, that means that you can, go against it and take everybody's money. That's why I say
you can play the odds both ways.
Exactly.
Like if everybody ran and said, "Oh, the Undertaker's a lock," right? And Vegas went to Vince and said, "Look, we can't afford to lose this kind of money, so the Undertaker has to lose." Not saying that.
You think what they're gonna call Vince and say we need Taker to go over?
I'm just saying that that can lead to that kind of stuff when you bet on something predetermined.
I don't know. I just think that it's.
I don't buy that at all.
It's.
You're giving Vegas too much credit at that point.
I don't buy that logic.
We've talked a lot now about Brock Lesnar, and we got people calling in, Ralph and other people. We're gonna take calls little by little.
I'm gonna go ahead and hang up. I just want to say that Tony C, I see your King of Kings got crowned tonight, man. You guys have a good night.
Let me tell you something.
His mask.
Although he didn't get crowned.
Nope, he didn't get crowned.
Streak is over.
Hey,
so how that taste?
Is this going to cause more MMA guys to come over?
No. What for? First of all, wait a minute. I'll answer that question. I'll give you your answer. You know why it won't happen? Because Brock was the only wrestler before being an MMA star. You're not going to have Tito Ortiz and Rampage Jackson come in and main event WrestleMania. Okay?
Yeah, right.
It ain't going to happen.
Shades of TNA.
I let that happen in TNA, but in the WWE is not going to happen.
Nah,
it won't happen.
You guys have a good night.
All right, you too, Kid Human. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll bring in Ralph here. Ralph. Oh well, okay. Ralph hung up. Anyways,
this is truly the first time I did not have a lot to say because I'm in absolute shock right now.
Let's move on.
You sound like that little girl when the Miz won the title.
Let's move on.
There was plenty of little girls in the audience tonight.
Look.
Shut up. You want to say though, Naomi looked good in that outfit. I will say that.
Oh, man.
All right. Let's go on to another match because, we're going to be talking about Brock and Undertaker here probably for the next week. Let's start from the beginning. Triple H, Daniel Bryan, Triple H coming out crowned with a big. Actually, wait a minute. Hold on. We have to go before that. Wait a minute. We have to go prior to that. The intro with Stone Cold Steve Austin, Hulk Hogan, and The Rock.
Half out.
I'm going to tell you. It was Rage actually. Rage was concerned that we were going to have The Rock a la WrestleMania 27 type. Moment where it was just a ponderous solo promo, that opened WrestleMania. So Hogan came out, botched twice in 60 seconds, yes. Called it WWFE, and then said that it's great to be in the Silver Dome. And
a break.
He really was.
He was nervous.
Yeah. The memory goes after a while. You get a lot of bumps in the head.
He was nervous.
Yeah, brain farts, man.
Then Stone Cold Steve Austin came out. They had a little back and forth, and Stone Cold was like, it's great to be in the Silver Dome, because he was mocking Hogan, which is fine. And then The Rock came out and, spoke his music and things like that. And the gist of the promo, I got to tell you.
Didn't CM Punk came out.
No, well, the promo I thought was a great way to open WrestleMania.
I thought so too.
I thought it was phenomenal.
I thought it was a very good way. I thought, despite the botch of
the promo, time limit.
I think it was placed well. It was done well. I think they had enough interaction between the three of them, and the whole thing at the end where they all did their catchphrases and Hogan finally corrected himself at the very end. So what you're gonna do when Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, Hulk Hogan, WrestleMania 30, the WWE Universe, and the Superdome run wild on you. And I thought
that next year.
I thought that was just, it was good. They had beers and things like that, and it was a great way to open
Kevin
WrestleMania.
Kevin Nash, Scott Hall, you look different.
Well, I honestly thought when Stone Cold came out, he was going to stun.
A lot of people thought that.
And that would have gotten me, out of my seat.
I forgot what Hall of Fame it was. I think it might have been when Hogan got inducted. I'm not sure, but I thought Stone Cold said for sure he wanted
it was the year after Hogan got inducted.
Okay,
and Hogan was a presenter that night, and what happened was he goes. The crowd was chanting Austin, Hogan, and this and that. And then Austin was like, I was going through my bag in the dressing room and I found a can of whoop-ass with Hulk Hogan's name on it.
Yeah.
And, that match is never going to happen, so stop asking for it. But still, I think it was a great segment, without a doubt. So we started things off right. Then we go to Triple H and Daniel Bryan, and Triple H's over-the-top Game of Thrones entrance.
So, The Rock's Hercules, so he had to do something.
Big tod white women. I'm sitting there going,
I just want Stephanie McMahon.
Wasted all that gold.
I'm sitting there going, man.
I just want Stephanie McMahon.
I'm like,
he had to do that. That was going to be the only time you saw him.
Sitting there going, Stephanie is paying attention to these women, because if one of them ever so much as lay a hand on Triple H,
he's the only person that got interested in two music at the same time. They did the music in the throne, and then they did the music as he walked down.
They always
he's good
do
at
that.
Those. He's, I like his entrances. They're pretty.
He has always been jealous
pretty,
of the Rock.
They're pretty epic.
When the Rock went to Hollywood, him and Stephanie went shopping for him to get roles, to be in roles.
He tops himself. He tops himself year after year.
I guess. I think.
It was unnecessary.
It was very over the top. But let's talk about that. Triple H and Daniel Bryan opening WrestleMania.
I thought it was a good idea.
I thought it was a phenomenal idea.
They start off hot.
I thought it was a great idea. I thought it was a tremendous sacrifice on Triple H's part. I thought Triple H did the right thing by putting Daniel Bryan over.
Yeah.
And, you can't hate Triple H. It's like you want to hate Triple H for being in the limelight and things like that, but we had a discussion about a year ago, and we said Triple H understands the business. He understands where this business needs to go going forward, and Triple H is not going to allow a lot of things to happen for the sake of just letting them happen, because Triple H is a new guy with old school ideas.
Yes.
He thinks old school, and that's what the business needs today.
You know what SummerSlam means to him.
Right.
Say what you want about Triple H.
I got to give it to him.
You put somebody over tonight.
I think Triple H, when the day comes, the WWE is going to be in good hands with Triple H. I think he proved that to me tonight. I don't know how many other people he proved that to, but the key here now is to keep it going. And I think the right thing was done. Daniel Bryan was put over, and you know, maybe the things that happened subsequently, you know, maybe they were not the ideal. Maybe they could have been done a little bit differently, or they were a little over the top. But I think ultimately there was a grand payoff, and I feel that Triple H earned a little bit more of my respect today as just a businessman in general.
Yeah.
Because as a competitor, you know, I can't hate Triple H completely, because I may not have liked him during his rise and things like that, but you know, I gotta respect his accomplishments in the business. Yeah. And tonight
he got the heat from that. One thing I want to say too, because you mentioned his contributions and how things are good in good hands, and I don't know if you mentioned it, and maybe I wasn't paying attention. But Cesaro,
right?
You know, what he's done with NXT, going back to the pre-show,
right?
And what he's done with those people from NXT, you know, I mean, think about it. The Wyatt family, the Shield, Cesaro, all these people who
Triple H had a rocky start, okay, because he was responsible for Sin Cara and yep. Sheamus and things like that, and not that I'm saying that Sheamus was bad for the business, it's that Sheamus, you know, didn't pan out to be the great thing that should be, like, your first big guy that you sign and that you're responsible for building. But since then, Triple H has redeemed himself in several instances, and Lee just named them. I think I really believe that if the way things are going and we're on this general course, WWE is going to be doing just fine. I think the quality of the product will be fine. There's going to be moments where we're going to bitch and moan, yeah, because that's just how it is, and we're always going to complain about something. But I think the long-term future, I think it's bright. WWE proved a lot tonight in terms of what they're doing to revolutionize the business, because this whole network thing was... Vince, we say all you want about Vince. Vince is a psychopath, okay? But Vince gambled a lot on WrestleMania 1. He gambled his business for WrestleMania 1. And David Crockett and Jim Crockett financed it. But that's another story. But he gambled his business for WrestleMania 1. Took a chance, blew it out of the water. WrestleMania 3 happened. He took another gamble and blew it out of the water. Vince takes gambles and somehow always succeeds. Vince took a massive, massive gamble tonight. It probably bigger than WrestleMania 1 and WrestleMania 3. If this network thing did not make it through the night, WWE would have been in big trouble.
Like WCW Halloween Havoc.
I think because here's the thing. WWE, to do this network, burned a lot of bridges with the cable companies.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, WWE killed the pay-per-view business tonight.
Yep.
And
they take away.
Yeah, they knew exactly what they were doing. Don't be surprised if in the next year and a half, 2 years, UFC starts doing the same. And because really the only thing holding pay-per-view together right now is the UFC.
Yeah,
boxing's dead in the water.
Do they have the money to invest
though? UFC has the money.
Yeah, they got the money. Them brothers got that money.
I don't know if they've had. I don't know if they have the brains though.
Yeah,
that's having the brains is a different
story. Dana White can do it.
We don't know that. We don't know.
But UFC is a whole different... I think the problem that a lot of people have is that... And they make comparisons between MMA and wrestling, WWE in particular. And it's totally different things. Totally.
Exactly.
I mean, when I was a hardcore UFC fan in 2007. I don't keep up with it much at all. But it's, to compare the two is not a fair assessment at all.
Yeah,
I mean, I think a lot of people do that, and it's just way out of line to do that.
But in terms of pay-per-view, they're the same.
I mean, in the sense of, like, they're a different type of fans that watch it. Like, you may have the crossover fans, but there's boxing fans who went over to UFC. There's people who just in the martial arts that go over there. Mm-hmm. And you know, a UFC, you may have a champion in UFC, and they may only have two fights a year.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They're training the rest of the time. So it's completely different when it comes to stuff like that. Their schedules are different. You know, the way their cards are set up, like, you know, you don't know if a fight's going to be go 5 rounds or 30 seconds.
Different form of entertainment altogether.
It's completely different. I mean, there's a lot of wrestling fans who are UFC fans and vice versa. But now, when it comes to the fact that UFC, like, getting to the point like Vince did when they kind of sucked up everybody and they took over Pride and everything else, that's similar. But when it comes to the whole thing of they're just two totally different things. And I think either Vince McMahon or Dana White, one of them, I haven't really followed their whole rivalry, whatever they got. One of them is just threatened by the other one. And it's just like, okay, I mean, UFC is always going to have their own separate fans. WWE is always going to have their own separate fans. So there's really not a threat when it comes to that. Because, I mean, that's just the way it is. I mean, I know people who are UFC fans who never watched wrestling before. Couldn't tell you anybody who was in there today.
The lines are open. The stream is, I got to say thank you to everybody who's listening. Right now, and it's been like this for a while, you know, I haven't said anything, but right now this is the most listened to broadcast we've ever done on the network since we started last year. So thank you to everybody who is listening.
Are you serious?
Right now. Yeah.
Hey, when Undertaker loses at WrestleMania,
no. That's
you eat, sleep, and something gets conquered, man. You know, hey.
The lines
Let me ask you a quick question, real quick.
Go ahead.
I wanted to find out. Is there a reason? I'm glad they did it, but is it a reason why they toned back on the music performances this year?
There was two performances. So I think,
but it was the length that you always hear. I think
the thing here was that that it was because. I'm trying to say it the right way, because like last year, I don't remember if there was any performances last year, but like the year before, there was Flo Rida that he did a really long set, and then prior to that was Machine Gun Kelly. So he had a period of like almost 30 minutes of just performances.
Wasn't Diddy on one?
Diddy was on last year. So there you go. I think this year, I think it was done just right. Exactly. Because
the length of the song that usually plays on TV.
No, because usually they don't play the song out completely.
Right. They didn't play the song out completely.
Sure they did.
They did with Bray.
They did for
the
Bray.
Whites. Yes, they did.
They cut it off, but for the most part, they played that song almost all the way through. Orton's song was played through.
But they both take a while to walk down to the ring anyway.
Okay, but they never play out those songs.
It was very efficient this year in terms of the way it was timed. Mm-hmm. And they were just very efficient this year. That's something that you're not used to seeing either.
Right.
I think they showed that so that six man a little short.
I could have threw a blow in there.
Well, let's talk about that.
That was a squash match.
Let's go match by match here. So Daniel Bryan went over on Triple H. Then got leveled afterwards.
Of course.
And there's already, by the way, there's already people calling for that says that tomorrow night on Raw, The Undertaker will in fact retire. So we'll have to see what happens with that. I don't know. Take that with a grain of salt. Like I said, tomorrow is going to be one of the highest rated Raws that they've had in many years. And you definitely want to tune in tomorrow night as it comes from the Smoothie King Center. Anyways,
the smoothie place.
Get your popcorn ready.
The next match was the I have my cheat sheet here. The next match was the six-man tag match, the Shield versus Corporate Kane and the New Age Outlaws. It was a squash match.
Yep.
And here's the thing. The match lasted.
That was cut short because of the long intro with The Rock and
Stone Cold. No, yeah. I don't think so. I think that was set up to be a squash.
No, I'm not saying that they wouldn't have lost, and they probably would have lost bad. I think it was cut short, though, for time.
I don't know, man. I think it was. And how often do you have a squash where it's the younger guys doing the squashing?
Yeah. So true.
With the Shield winning tonight, I don't expect a breakup until at least
it won't happen.
The fall
won't happen now.
Ever.
There's a rumor going around.
It's not going to happen now.
There's a rumor going around that after tonight, the Shield's going to end up being babyfaces, and they're going to end up working a program with Cena.
Yeah, so we talked about that earlier. Yep. We talked about that earlier, and
they already faces. They've been faces since they got there.
Yeah. So I think
they're going to help him with the Wyatts.
I don't know what's going to happen with that. That brings us to the next thing we saw.
Damn Surfer.
There was the French announce table at ringside, like I said during the pre-show. The Sergeant Slaughter, Hacksaw Jim Duggan playing with the Slammers,
God.
And being refereed by Dangerous Danny Davis, the wrestling referee.
God.
And
Jim Duggan,
Ricky Steamboat came in, Ted DiBiase came in, and then Ron Simmons closed the segment
with
a big damn.
I expect better from Steamboat.
Damn.
Well, not a big deal, you know.
He might as well have came up with the Puff the Magic Dragon outfit and blew some fire.
Jim Duggan looked terrible.
Well, what do you expect?
Jim Duggan's like 60 years old.
What do you want? Oh, man. You want some breaking news?
What?
Death.
This is a breaking news alert.
The youngest, oldest man has died.
I know. I just saw that, man. I'm bummed out.
Mickey Ooh. Rooney is dead at 93.
Who?
Mickey Ooh. Rooney.
Oh, the 90 Mickey professor. Rooney?
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney.
What was that?
Gotcha.
Anyway.
Rage.
Go learn yourself. Go learn yourself something. Anyways,
who is Mickey Rooney?
Give us the time to have a moment of silence for a great...
I mean, I'm not disrespecting. I just want to know who he is.
Look him up.
He's once you see the face, you'll know who he is. Anyways, so let's get back to this. We bring in Phil Rea from Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Mickey Rooney died.
So,
what's up, Phil?
I think that's probably what killed Mickey Rooney.
What killed him?
what's up, Phil?
I'm going to hell.
Phil,
what's going on, Phil?
Good evening.
So. Your thoughts on... Let's we're going to start because you haven't been a part of the hour that we've been on. Initial reaction to the streak ending.
I was floored.
You were floored.
I have been that floored one time. My wife put it best. She said 70,000 people just shit themselves.
I think what's... I'm shocked.
Yeah, no, it was like everybody's phone. I had about 8 or 10 people in my room outside of the kids. Everybody's phone went off instantaneously.
My phone was vibrating too.
Someone somewhere, and I mean, obviously, besides the Facebook activity on our pages, respectively, I'm talking about casual wrestling fans. I had old uncles texting me, cousins, people from bars and pubs and taverns around the area. It was Dave. Dave shut his phone down. He was like, "I'm done. I can't even look at the phone." Like it was that kind of party, you know? Shock, just total shock.
Right.
Total shock. It was just.
Would you say this was the most shocking moment in Mania history?
In Mania history, yeah. You know what? I mean. There were good moments. There were great moments in WrestleMania history. This was the shock top. This was like...
The swerve of all swerves for me.
Yeah, not only the fact that it happened, A, but B, to a part-timer. Like, a guy who's a per diem wrestler who's not on the roster, like, all the time. You know each other for a couple of times a year. Maybe that may change. And you actually saw a slower Undertaker. Brock carried that match. I'm not saying Taker was terrible, but you could tell that he was clearly not in his, you know, in his regular prime, like he normally has been the last several years. He was not well, man. He did Brock carry for Brock Lesnar to carry a match. That's telling you something.
I guess. Yep. I guess. Overall thought, though, of the event, did you think it was one of the best WrestleManias in some time?
Best Mania in almost 10 years.
I said the same thing. Go ahead.
No, no, it was the best one in almost 10 years. And it was, I was very upset about them only having 8 matches and the title matches being on a pre-show. And I told all you guys a couple days ago how I was mad about it. It was a sound card. A little botch booking in terms of who went. They put Triple H first, set the tone for the night. I thought it was just a really good, solid all-around performance by everybody, including and Cesaro. If Daniel Bryan was not on the card, Cesaro stole the show.
I think we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that right now. We're going to get to that match right now. But one last question specifically for you. Stream issues, flawless. How was it?
I had 2 stoppages, less than a minute. I had one in the beginning, and then almost towards the next to last match.
Yeah, I mean, like I think WWE, they pulled off a mammoth job considering the panic that people were dealing with on February 24th, and I think if you don't have the WWE Network, boy, you're missing out.
Yeah.
You are missing out. WWE changed the game tonight, and now the only thing is the network's only going to get better from here. So, but anyways, let's get into that Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. All the superstars were in the ring except for Big Show and Sheamus, and they came out. Tim White came out with the trophy, basically.
That was Andre's boy, too.
Yeah, that was his handler. And a lot of people, you know, started flying out of that Battle Royal fairly early, but it was not a fast Battle Royal. It was just your typical old-fashioned, old-school Battle Royal. Yep. The ring was full, and obviously, there were 2 spots in the match that got people on their seats. The first being from Kofi Kingston. I don't know what's left for Kofi to do in these battle royals.
Heel.
Kofi was thrown out of the ring onto his ass, but managed to keep his feet on the steps.
Yep. That was amazing.
Yeah. I'm done with his spots, though, man. It's just, all right.
No, but here's the thing, Phil. Each time it gets better and better.
Yeah, each one of them has been better.
It only means something if you win.
The problem is he does.
That's not true.
He does an amazing save, only then to get eliminated within a minute later.
But that's the thing. I think people mark out though for the spot.
And not everybody can do what he did.
Exactly.
What he does.
Same.
I mean, listen. The day I see Big Show do one of those spots, I'll be like, oh my God. I'll mark out for the next 25 years if I see something like that from him. But
that's
it won't
no
happen.
Different than Kane or Roman Reigns having the most eliminations and not winning.
Right.
I mean, it's still something that you should be able that you know. I mean, he's doing. Who else could do the stuff that Kofi Kingston?
It's something you talk about for a moment. That's it.
Yeah, but you know when it happens again, you recollect on all of the times you did it before.
So, and the
what
other
next for him to do, though?
Who's to blame
for Kofi's situation? Kofi or WWE or maybe combination?
WWE.
Holding the black man.
WWE is to blame on just holding him back. In
general. I just think they don't know how to book him.
I just don't think that there's. I don't think the right setting is there for him.
Yeah,
but didn't he beat Orton when Orton didn't have a title?
Yeah, he did.
He beat Orton in what, 2 matches?
Something like that. But let's talk about the other spot in the Battle Royal. And that was, and I'm telling you, I swear to God, WrestleMania 3 flashed before my eyes.
Yes, it did. Oh, my God.
Cesaro picked the Big Show up for a slam, and not only slammed him, but tossed his fat ass out of the ring over the top rope.
He did it in slow motion like Hogan did Andre.
It was exactly...
Well, he got some lift on that pickup.
Doesn't matter. WrestleMania 3 flashed before my eyes.
Yep.
I was watching Andre or Hogan pick up Andre. And
it has to be... without question, he's the strongest man in the WWE.
He... Cesaro... God almighty.
For his size, he is the strongest man in the WWE.
And I've been could have told y'all that. I've seen this man do some shit.
I believed you, but the thing is, the problem is WWE does a poor job in giving the fans what we want. So, you know.
If they still had a world championship, he would have easily been one that should have gotten. If they had the belt still split and they didn't want to put the, you know, I mean. It'd be nice for him to get a mid-card title and have a nice strong run with that. Somebody outside?
He had a run as a mid-card title.
He was the U.S. champion.
Yeah, I mean one where he's not actually losing every week. The Robert.
I think
Robert.
Cesaro. I should have thought better of it when I was making my prediction on this match.
I hate static.
I didn't know he was in that match.
Neither did I, but I should have thought better of it. I should have had Cesaro, you know, win that match.
Is he total face?
Cesaro, I don't know if he's total face, but Y2Jant in the chat, he said it best. Cesaro is not normal, and I think Cesaro is. I don't know about being the future of the business, because I don't know if the WWE will go that route. And Surfer, somebody's got some feedback.
Someone's in a wind tunnel.
Who's in a wind tunnel?
Somebody outside. Somebody driving outside, because I hear wind.
Close your window, Rage.
Me?
Let me see. Is it
Will? It's Phil.
Hey, me.
Probably Tony.
Hey, Phil, you're your thing. Phil, why don't you mute your mic? Let me see if it's you.
Yeah, I'm at the Brock Lesnar celebration right now. So
no, it can't be alone. Phil. No, it's not Phil. It's somebody else.
William.
It's William.
Yes.
Yeah, ding, it was William. Ding. It was William. All right, let's hope that cleared it up. Anyways, there we go. The static is gone. So Cesaro won. He's the first recipient of the Andre the Giant Memorial Trophy.
It wasn't me, right?
No, it was William. So
now Cesaro, he gets to shoot with
Daniel Bryan. I think if we give it some time, it cannot be Extreme Rules, but if we give it some time, I think we're going to have a Cesaro going after the WWE title.
Get a real American.
It's on hill.
Huh?
You can't hop in front of Buck.
Because the real Americans are done, right?
They're done.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. What do we do with Bautista now?
Nothing.
Same thing he do, nothing.
Listen, if any, he's supposed to be full-time.
So,
at least until the summertime.
So
you better start putting some people
over. Who's he gonna wrestle?
Well, he can fight the Shield. Dean Ambrose is still the U.S. champion, and I
put somebody over.
Title. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you, Surfer?
Great Khali.
I think WWE WWE invested a lot of time. WWE pissed a lot of people off by making Batista win the Royal Rumble, and now after what happened tonight. I don't see WWE having much faith in Batista going forward.
He's going to be involved.
Is he going to be Future Endeavor?
No, Future Endeavor. No,
Ray,
you wishing too much.
I think though Batista being involved in anything substantial I think WWE has thought better of it. I hope so, at least. You know,
what happens to Orton?
I think Orton needs to take a break.
Yeah, if
albeit a short break, I think Orton needs to take a break.
You gotta get this rematch first.
If anybody deserves a break, it will be him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go and
tap that JoJo. He's got locked up in that dungeon.
Of course you would bring that up.
And then SummerSlam would come around. Guess who's getting a title shot?
Cena.
Yep.
Let's talk about now Bray Wyatt and John Cena. And Bray getting played out by the band that produced his entrance theme.
Just awesome.
That was awesome.
It was pretty cool. I don't know if I understand completely the whole voodoo thing at the beginning, but whatever.
Hey, it's New Orleans.
I understand that, but still, it was like just it was a little random.
The chick dancing, I honestly thought that was Rihanna.
That crossed my mind.
Are you gonna mix voodoo with backwoods redneck?
But that's the thing. That's why I'm saying it was randomly placed. I don't know if it was randomly placed, but it just came off that way. I'm not saying it was bad because it was short, which is good. And
that was the one thing that I didn't take account for in my prediction was the fact that Bray Wyatt would lose just to prove a freaking point.
But you know what? Bray losing, I think Bray had to win this match. Because Bray winning the match would have benefited both guys.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? At the end of the day, I look at it this way. And I haven't really had time to really sit down and let it marinate yet, but that match happened at 8:30. That match didn't happen 9:30 or 10 o'clock. The match happened at 8:30. It happened very early in the card. John Cena is a guy that has been in the main event of WrestleMania. He's been in the main event or the second to last match on the card every WrestleMania for 10 years.
So true.
I think to prove something that to go back that WWE may be listening to us. I think they're listening to us, and I also think it's something on John Cena's part that maybe John is ready to start being that guy that puts over the younger talent, because here's the thing. I think it was a big deal for John not to be higher up in the card than he normally would be.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much that it would have benefited Bray to be higher up in the card, but I think that's a big step for John to in the terms of taking a step back by going down from being in the third or fourth hour to being early in the second hour, and especially considering that the first hour consisted of a promo and one match.
Can I go on a limb and say that this may be the only one of the only start of the times that a guy that Cena beats at a big card and doesn't get buried? I think there's too much
right.
talent.
I think
I really don't know.
You know what? You guys can laugh all you want, and you know what? There's some validity to what you're saying. Every time John Cena beats somebody, they kind of get buried, and there's some validity to that. I'm still not blaming Cena for it, but I'm telling you right now, there's something with that Wyatt family angle.
Yeah.
And it ain't just one guy. You know what I'm saying? It's not just a Ziggler. It's not just a Damian Sandow. It's three guys with talent.
Right.
And there's a story to be told.
If John Cena had won, John Cena did win, but the whole thing was, it seems like they're doing the same. I'm hearing that wind again. But it seems like they're doing that same thing where what Kane did a while ago. It's like we want John Cena to embrace the hate and had this come out. And
yeah,
if John Cena had a won and he like beat Bray Wyatt down with a chair, like they did that whole thing where he got upset and then he picked up the steps and he was like, no, I'm not going to do it. If he beat him half to death with a chair or something and Bray Wyatt sacrificed himself to get John Cena to be like dirty, then maybe, you know, I could have accepted, but he, John Cena kept shifting. He went from one point, he clotheslined the hell out of him, and he was upset. Then he was smiling at everybody, and he was doing, you can't see me, with a big Kool-Aid smile on his face. And then next thing you know, he turns around, he wants to hit him with the steps, and he's like, I don't think I can do this. Because and then next thing you know, I mean, it's just, he was just all over the place emotionally.
Because next to Cesaro and next to Daniel Bryan, he put on a clinic. He was awesome tonight. He was on the money. I thought he was fantastic.
I mean, not wrestling-wise. I'm talking about psychology-wise. I mean,
he's... I know what you're saying. I'm just talking about the character that is Bray Wyatt.
Right.
Oh, Bray Wyatt. I'm fine with him. I'm talking about Cena.
I think the other guys that Cena's been burying are great performers, but they're not the complete package. To me, Bray Wyatt is a complete package. He cuts the promo. He has a fantastic look. And he could move for a big dude. You know what I'm saying? So
I just don't think Cena was responding well to what Bray Wyatt was trying to do. Like, I think it was kind of out of place. If John Cena started off smiling, if he told more of a story with it, he started off smiling, being himself, and then he got frustrated, and he led up to that, I would have understood it better. But earlier on, he was upset. And it's real loud again. Earlier on, he was upset, and he was beating up on Bray Wyatt, and the next thing you know, you turn around, and he's smiling. And then he has that internal conflict of, should I hit him with the steps, or should I not hit him with the steps? And then, I mean, Cena just wasn't holding up his end as far as I'm concerned with telling the story. Bray Wyatt was awesome. I mean, from him singing a song and, you know, popping up when Cena went to go do his shuffle. And all, I mean, I have no problem with him at all.
And the crowd was so with it, man. The crowd was phenomenal.
Yeah, they were being played with.
Yeah, the sheeple came alive tonight.
Oh, my God. The crowd, that's one thing. The crowd in New Orleans was something else. They were
with it.
They were with it tonight. And I don't know. For those of you that are wondering, that are listening to us live, and you have the WWE Network, the WrestleMania 30 show, the actual show itself, is already available on demand. So if you missed any part of WrestleMania, you can go back and watch it. Let me see here. Where are we going next on this? Well, we talked about what we're going to talk about with Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker.
Anybody feel bad for the Big Show?
No.
No.
I think Big Show... Big Show's one of those guys that has always done the right thing.
Yeah.
And love him or hate him, I think you know,
he's a company man. He has no problem putting people over.
Yeah.
They need a champion when they need a champion, or him to turn heel or be face. He'll do whatever they need him to do.
On that seat next to Alex Riley on the panel next week.
Right. So. He did the job for Cesaro, and he probably did it happily. You know, without question. You know, they came to him, hey, Big Show, what do you think?
He's just at that point in his career.
No, he's always been like that, though.
You know what, boss, anybody over 40 years old should be doing that right now in this stage of the game. I'm sorry. I don't care how great you are in the ring. There's so many guys that are waiting. Get off TV. Get Kane off TV. Get Big Show off TV. You have a network. You have NXT, you have the performance facility now. You have a whole bunch of stuff for these cats to do. Let them do that. Get them off television. There's too many guys that are waiting to come up or waiting that are just the Zigglers and or the world and these other guys. Get them up. Get them up.
I don't know why y'all want Ziggler to win so damn bad.
Because he's good, dude. He's good. Give him a mouthpiece and different tights and, you know...
Different tights.
No, seriously, repackage him, and he is a talent. He is a talent.
How about cut his hair again? Give him a short haircut again. I actually like the series.
I like Ziggler. They played around with Ziggler for so long. They toyed and toyed and toyed with him until when he finally did win, and then what happened was he got a concussion. And I mean, it just seemed like he just hasn't gotten it fair. I mean, it just hasn't been fair for him, but I like him.
Then he ran his mouth about his brother getting released. So he buried him again.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. Let's get these guys on. Get these guys more time. Get Cody Rhodes back in a singles role. Get these guys back up. You know? It's just disheartening, man. I don't know.
Yeah, that Dustin Rhodes, I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Dustin Rhodes. He did an awesome job of losing weight, coming back, and being in that role. But I looked at that as short term, and I think if they aren't going to give them another run, go ahead and let Cody have his, because Cody was doing good on his own.
You know, I thought for a second that Cody eliminated his brother, but that was Del Rio.
Well, at least the New Age Outlaws will be off TV for a while. Billy Gunn's.
Thank God.
Thank
Billy Gunn's in the hospital right now. He got internally. He's internally bleeding. He's hemorrhaging internally from a power bomb he took from the Shield. So
is that true?
Yeah, just Ring Wars. Just Ben Roberts and those guys just put it on Facebook.
Oh wow.
Mr.
Well, The Miz is another one.
The Miz is another one. They don't know what the hell they want to do with Miz. They have zero.
Can they cut his hair? Can they start with that?
He's another guy.
Mania 27.
He can hang out with Alex Riley on the panel too. You know, that's what again. There's work for guys who aren't going to be on TV. Get them off TV.
Yeah.
Don't mishmash it. You know what I'm saying? Don't.
They did with Tensai. They did with Tensai, Josh Matthews, all of.
Wow. Get them. TV, man.
Yeah, have an actual Real Miz TV show instead of just a segment.
You could do so much a Big Show, man. And I get a lot of crap for this, but that movie he did, that Knucklehead movie, I wouldn't go to a movie and see it. Thank God for the internet, but I could see his personality and I could see him doing so many things, you know, for the WWE that's not in ring related anymore.
Sorry, let me cut you off.
No, I'm sorry, sir. I'm just saying, like, that's the thing for me. Like, I love these guys, you know, but get them off TV.
Did you see his personality in MacGruber?
Yeah. Again, Saturday Night Live. He was great on Saturday Night Live back in the day. I mean, come on.
You heard him. I heard him on commentary. He reminds me of Kevin Nash somewhat with it. The way he, he responds to. I'll say this, though. I got props for Big Show because as big as he is, you got to be careful when you that size taking certain bumps.
Right.
And for him to trust Cesaro to throw him, body slam him over the top,
shows a lot.
Yeah, he was holding on to the rope when he went over.
It's still he's
a big dude. That's still a lot of falling.
Exactly. Look. Even Nash dropped him on his head not once but twice.
Yeah.
You know, so it could happen with anybody. Let's take you back now. We're going to take you back to about. I'd say about 2 hours, a little bit more than 2 hours. We're going to take you about 3 hours back in time. Let's take you back to the close of Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker.
All right, Brock Lesnar counter! Brock Lesnar counter! Lesnar counter! He's got Undertaker up at his shoulders again!
Not again!
Going for a triple! A third and five to The Undertaker! Brock Lesnar into the cover! Hooks the leg!
See, you can hear the air sucked out of the entire stadium.
And here's the thing: the audience. I'm gonna do play by play of the audience. People stood up and they could not believe. They are stunned. The crowd is stunned. They cannot believe what is going on. Referee Chad Patton is also stunned. He's standing in the ring. The announcers are stunned. Paul Heyman is stunned.
You know,
wait. Let's hold on.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of this match, Brock Lesnar.
There you go.
I don't even think he believed what he was saying.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Had the Taker lost his streak, like, with the last 6 years, right? Whether it had been Triple H or Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair, whatever. After the match, they would have paid the respect to The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. What did Brock Lesnar do? He walks off with a smug look on his fucking face.
I'll be honest. Look, here's the thing.
Let me ask everyone a question.
I mean, who was the respect for the man you just beat?
He had to play his heel character. He wasn't going to stick around. Undertaker got his respect from the fans and the announcers and everybody else. Him being a heel, what are you going to do, shake his hand afterwards?
Yeah.
Let me ask
you. You want to do like The Rock did, Austin? Stand there and tell him, I love you.
Did y'all ever see, like, a way the streak would end. I'm not saying like the match itself. I'm talking about like the aftermath. Like, did y'all have like any particular way you saw like the aftermath of the streak ending?
The one black guy with the big eyes and the glasses.
Yeah, with the shirt. Yeah,
he's on every.
He was the one.
He's on every. He's become an internet sensation. He's
like the Miz girl. Yeah.
Yep.
To answer Razor's question, you mean like anybody beating Brock Lesnar?
I mean to anybody beating like the streak being over. Like, did you ever like have this like envision as to like what would it look like?
Yeah, I saw John Cena doing it, getting booed, but I saw him standing in the ring, and you know, I saw him giving Undertaker that moment, like. You know, Undertaker also, like, that exchange in that way. I saw that completely. I will say this real quick. And a lot of people, for me, the biggest shock for me in wrestling has always been the Barry Windham turn, when he turned on Lex Luger. Hogan at 96, once I saw him walking down to the ring,
I knew.
You know, I mean, just because I was like, what is he doing here? I knew.
Bobby Heenan ruined it too. If you didn't,
He ruined it too. Yeah. You know, but tonight that shocked me.
The Barry Windham,
because like on separate occasion, like there are occasions where I just sit and look, like before night, there are just certain times I just sit and I just picture it in my mind, just like the aftermath of the streak and like what happens after that. And like, how would the crowd reaction be? Would they cheer? Would they boo? Just
if he took his ass home 2 years ago.
I just picture that. Like, this is just not how I pictured it at all.
I kept looking over at Mega Powers across from my living room, and he looked at me and he goes, I can't get into this match. Like, none of us can. And my sister's boyfriend was the only one in the room, like, 7 hours prior to this, that said that Brock was going to win. We all laughed at him.
Right.
So he's a casual wrestling fan, watches it 4 or 5 times a year. He goes, I think Brock's going to win it tonight. Yeah. We all laughed at him, like, okay, as we're stuffing our face. Yeah, okay, whatever.
Then what?
And then he lost, and we all looked at him and said, you know what? Next year when the Vegas odds come out, guess who's putting the wager in? You are a tough guy. So I want to win with you. And you know what? Like I was saying before when I called in, when Brock Lesnar has to carry you in a match, taking nothing away from Brock Lesnar, but if he has to cat Undertaker look old, man.
That's
you know what though? He didn't look old last year, didn't look old the year before, and if anybody says that he did, you're all delusional.
Undertaker looked old to me. This is the one where I just sat there and went, he just does not have it tonight.
Hey, I'm talking about not physically look old. I'm talking about, like, old in the ring.
He was beat up.
Yeah.
He was beat up. And I think he knew that this was it. Otherwise, this would not have happened. And that's it.
He shouldn't have ever...
You got some kids at home you got to take care of now, right?
I have a question for the panel.
Go ahead.
What happens now? Like, does he retire?
He retires. I don't think he can continue now. He can't continue now. That's all he had. He was holding on because of that.
That's all he was holding on for was that.
Like, so the wet dream Sting match probably will never happen?
I don't think so now. At this point, I don't know.
What's the stakes behind it?
Exactly. I'm just asking. I'm just playing devil's advocate because I've been playing that scenario in my head since he got pinned.
Now,
and it's not even a novelty match.
They both would have been old in the ring as it is, but there's nothing there. There's no pride. It's not like.
The only thing I see happening now, and this is going to be my first statement on the subject, because, and I'll probably go into detail Tuesday night, is that if you want what's probably going to happen now with Sting, if I got to put money on it, it'll be Sting and John Cena.
Yep. I don't want to see Sting wrestle, period. Sting needs to come in some type of different role.
Sting and John Cena, Mania 31.
I think that's what's going to happen.
And Brock and Rock next year.
So we can get shocked again and have Sting beat John Cena, which is stupid.
I don't know. Lee, I don't know what to tell you. It's right now, I'm just...
You know, Double A, I'll say this.
We have to let things marinate and see how things pan out in the next 6 months.
I enjoy the fact before... I'm sorry, Lee. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I enjoy the fact that we don't know.
That's the thing. I think we haven't been... It's been a long time since... we're all wrestling fans. We do these shows and things like that, you know, week in, week out. We appear on each other's shows. We have varying opinions and things like that. But we find ourselves, you know, almost complacent when we do these shows because, okay, I got to come in, report the news, report what happened on Raw and whatever shows, and then this pay-per-view is coming up in 3 weeks. I got to do the coverage for this pay-per-view. And it's pretty in and out, standard, nothing overly changes. But tonight, you know, it's one of the few times as a wrestling fan, while doing the show, I'm left really scratching my head thinking, well, you know, now
where
what?
Go from here?
Where do we go from here?
And, wasn't that what made us fans in the first place? Well, we didn't.
Exactly. Exactly, and I think that's the brilliance. Here's one of my biggest problems with WWE. They proved to us tonight that they can do it. The problem is, why can't it be done all the time?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. And on top of that, you got there are capable bodies that can carry on that suspension and belief, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's so many people that work for this company that can tell a good story. It's up to the powers that be and their responsibility to do that. And they did a great job. And why can't they do it all the time? I don't know. That's a $1 million question. I wish I knew. I wish and anybody who thinks they know should be employed by them.
Yeah. All right. You know? William signed off. He had to run, so we thank William for chiming in. We're going to talk about here a couple of... Now we got the Divas match, and really, I mean, we can't comment much on this Divas match because, number one, it was short, and number two, it was a cluster. Number three, AJ won. You know, AJ's apparently not in the doghouse.
Yeah, Dave.
Thank God.
Unless they set it up for tomorrow.
I'm going to read a couple of tweets here that's coming across the wire. Mark Madden doesn't agree with the streak ending. Tommy Dreamer fell asleep during WrestleMania for whatever reason, and he says that he just found out that The Undertaker lost. He does not agree. It's the worst booking move ever. People on Twitter are asking, can the Sting and Undertaker match still happen? I say no. I think for the most part, the internet is not
a buzz.
They're a buzz on the situation. They're not. It's going to be hard to find some kind of agreement on the outcome of the match. At least right now, I think we need to wait and see what happens here in the next couple of months to really say, okay, maybe WWE was right to do what they did. The main event, triple threat match. Batista, Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan won the match. But there was a lot of, like, as Tony C, to use a Tony C-ism, there was a lot of buffoonery going on during this match. First, Triple H and Stephanie came out, pulled out Mike Chioda. Then they brought in referee Scott Armstrong. And I was wondering where Scott had been. And Scott is...
he's been in pigs, though.
He's the corrupt referee.
Is he the new Danny role?
No, he is. He's the Nick Patrick of the situation, yeah. You know. And
I was wondering.
So he was brought in. Then you know he was taken out. So eventually, Mike Chioda is the one that counted the final fall. But it looked bleak for a period of time of Daniel Bryan actually winning the match. Once Triple H got involved, but then Triple H just kind of disappeared and just wasn't there at ringside anymore. And then, you know, that glimmer of hope came back. And then Daniel Bryan got the LaBelle lock or the yes lock on Batista. The match was over, and it seemed that all the negativity that came with Undertaker and Brock vanished. And it seems that that all is right in the world.
Well, let me ask you a question, Double A. I got a question for you. Do you think, and I'm just asking this question, I don't even have an opinion on it. It just jumped in my mind, though. Do you think that because of what happened with The Undertaker, that it probably would have been better for Daniel Bryan to win tomorrow on Raw?
No.
So it wouldn't take away from him?
No. I think...
Do you think the Undertaker thing will die down and the focus will be on Daniel Bryan's
one? I think the Undertaker thing is going to die down quick enough. If we hear from the Undertaker tomorrow night, which there's a strong chance that we will, I think once the Undertaker makes whatever announcement he might have, if there is one, whatever happened with the Undertaker will die down fairly quickly. By the time the next pay-per-view rolls around, it'll be an afterthought. The Daniel Bryan situation with him winning at WrestleMania, that's going to last a while. And I think the internet is happy with that decision. I think, you know, you've got an internet darling, a kid who is
internet darling.
He is small. He's you know, he's under height, underweight. And really, he was one of the guys that put ROH on the map. And you wouldn't think that this guy would come into the WWE and then one day be the WWE champion, because, you know, there's a lot of things working against him. And granted, we would want to sit here all night and day and wish and hope for the best, but until we actually see it, there's always in the back of our head, like, it's not really going to happen, because, you know, there's just too much working against him. He had the title once before, but and yes, he was world champion, but those were not. Being the world heavyweight champion and being the WWE champion.
Wait a minute.
Being the world champion and being the WWE world champion, two entirely different beasts. He was the WWE world heavyweight champion twice. The first time lasted 5 minutes. The second time lasted about 10 hours, I think, or a little bit more than that. And I think, you know, you didn't get a chance to relish it as a fan. Listen, I hope that what happened to Daniel Bryan in the past doesn't happen to him Monday night on Raw. I don't think so, because WWE wouldn't be stupid enough to replicate a storyline they did 6 months earlier. So I really believe that this is it. This is the real deal. He overcame the odds. He beat the Authority. He beat Batista and Randy Orton. And he is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And this is the way it's going to be from here on out.
And that's a big deal. Now, and how are you booking to beat him?
I don't know. I got to think about that. I have to think about that. But I think...
Well, clearly, he won't think
of that. What were you saying, Lee? You're breaking up.
No, sorry. I'm saying that him into the leash.
You're still breaking up. You think he's gonna have a rematch against Triple H?
Possibly.
Okay. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'll stew on that, and maybe I'll have an answer for you on Tuesday. But I think you're gonna wake up tomorrow morning, or, you know, you're gonna wake up in 7 hours or whatever it is, and your WWE champion is a guy that 10 years ago you would have said, you're out of your mind. This guy's never going to be the WWE champion, and that's a good thing. You know, when CM Punk won the WWE title, didn't have the same. I like CM Punk. Everybody loves CM Punk, but I think when he was the champion, there wasn't all that passion and fire behind him as there was, and that there is, Daniel Bryan.
Because Daniel Bryan's an underdog, quote unquote.
You know, and for me, it's full circle. Daniel Bryan, the Yes Movement started in Miami. I've said him a million times already. And here we are, full circle, the Yes Movement.
Get yourself in the bed, Double A.
I'm responsible for this. Thank you. You can say thank you. You can send a check in the mail if you want.
How long is he going to hold on to this belt?
I don't know. I can't think about that right now.
Until you run into Brock Lesnar?
I don't know. I honestly, I don't have an answer for you right now.
You know what? I'm telling you right now, I would actually consider, if I was, you know, management, making Brock Lesnar a full-time player. You know, clearly he's in that. You could put him in a title hunt too. I'd love to see him.
Do you think Brock wants that?
I don't know, but I would love to see him and Daniel Bryan.
And what's the cost? That's another thing.
He's getting a lot of money now, and he doesn't have to work twice a month, and he can take off every third month.
Was he getting like a million a match or something?
Something like that.
Again, I understand why he wouldn't, and he's got a comfortable schedule. Yeah. But my thing is, he just beat the streak. He could still work. He's in his mid-30s, you know, and you could put him in now you know you have another player you could put in the top-tier programs.
Yeah.
It's money. You can money him with any of those cats. You can money him with Daniel Bryan. That'd be fantastic. You can money him with Randy Orton, Batista, you know, any of those guys. You could money him. That'd be fantastic. You know?
That may all be true. I don't think he gives a damn. I don't think he wants to work like that.
I don't know. I mean, probably not. You're probably right. Yeah. I'm just saying if I was management, I would consider it. I would consider it and say, hey, listen, if CM Punk is not going to come back, if he's dead up, straight up, not come back, you now have a missing, and if you're not going to push any of these other guys up, you now have a missing cog in your machine. You need one more guy, a monster heel, not a tweener, if you can't get behind Batista, you can't get behind Orton, you could definitely get behind Brock Lesnar as a heel.
I'd rather see a heel Roman Reigns or a heel Cesaro before it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
Oh, if they push him, sure.
They got Alexander Rozenko, whatever the hell his name is.
We'll have to see what becomes of that. Let's go around the room, give our rankings in terms of 10-star ranking of 1 to 10. We'll start with Lee. How do you rank this WrestleMania?
For me personally, I did not think I would enjoy it as much as I did. I'll say, and it has nothing to do with me feeling about what happened with Brock Lesnar. It did its job. If that's what they wanted to do, was shock me. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 9.
Phil?
I'm going to give it an 8.
You're going to give it an 8?
That's the highest I've given a ranking since 20.
Surfer?
I'm giving it 8 flapping buzzards.
Rage.
I'm giving this a solid 9.5 out of 10.
Tony C.
I'm going with about an 8.5.
I'm going with a 9 here. I think this is by far. I hate to say this. I think WWE probably put on the pay-per-view of the year. We still got 9 months to go. We still got 9 more pay-per-views, but I think
it's going to be hard to top.
It's going
to
be very hard to top. And I think the matches were not match of the year quality. It's just that
shock value.
The shock was there. The emotion was there. The overall production of the show was just, it was good. It was amazing. Right now I'm watching the video package of Daniel Bryan and Triple H, and the video packages were good.
Oh, that was a really they good were, they were, video
they were
package.
Well done, and just I,
as soon as I heard that song, I went looking for it.
There's no end that WWE has in terms of producing these events. And one thing that, and I commented on it during the pay-per-view, which, by the way, Michael Cole, we talked about this during the pre-show, that what do we call these events now? They're no longer pay-per-views, and Michael Cole gave the term, it is now the next time WWE puts on a special event. So, these are special events now. So the next time we'll be bringing you special event coverage will be Sunday, May 4th for Extreme Rules. But here's the thing. I think the wrestling world tonight is much better than it was last night. Last night we were all here, we were all on the air last night, raving, not in a good way, about this Hall of Fame induction ceremony. That it was just, it was mass chaos, and it was just ill-planned, and not, it just was a train wreck because of Mr. T and Lita, and then the Warrior said his things that rubbed people the wrong way, and it's just like, well, we can't hold this against WrestleMania, but, you know, maybe this is the direction of things, and we're in a very good place. I think tomorrow night's going to be an interesting night. I would tune into Monday Night Raw if I were you.
That was my next question.
I kind of have to now.
Is Raw going to be as epic as it was last year?
Let me tell you something. And if I'm not enraged, you'll tell me. Or sports fans, you'll tell me. We have the, I believe, tomorrow night, the
Final Four.
The National
Championship happens.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some stiff competition. It airs on what? On CBS, right?
CBS, yeah.
But that's the thing. I think they're going to hold steady. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to give you the rating for tomorrow night. Tomorrow night's Monday Night Raw will be, it's either going to be a 3-9 or a 4-0. And if they have a 4 tomorrow night, that will be the highest rated Raw that they have had, I believe, in the last 3 years. So get ready.
They haven't pulled fours since the end of the Monday Night Wars, correct?
No, they've done fours since
then. They've done fours after that?
Yeah, they've done fours. They've even done five since then, but it's been a long time since they've done a four. And I think a four is a conservative number. I think it's safe. I might even toy with the idea that it could go a little bit higher than a four, but the four would be solid, and a lot of people they're going to have their eyes glued to that television set tomorrow night.
Yeah,
I'm in a bit of a predicament,
and I have a feeling those DVRs are going to primarily be recording the championship game. That's just my opinion.
We should extend the coverage till tomorrow night.
Well, unfortunately, I got to work tomorrow. So here's what's going on. All of the programs, with the exception of Turnbuckle Throwbacks, which I'm sure Phil will be posting here very shortly, or soon, I should say, not very shortly, but all the programs from this past weekend are available to download. They're in rotation, so you can tune in and listen to everything that we've done this weekend. We return to normal programming beginning this Tuesday night with The Rant, 8 o'clock Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, 1 a.m. for you people in the UK. Then on Wednesday, Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. Phil and Dave, they'll be giving their take on WrestleMania and, of course, the fallout of Raw, and I'm sure they're going to be talking about a whole hell of a lot more. Friday will be a brand new episode of the Lex podcast. Lex will give his thoughts on WrestleMania 30. He already put pen to paper. So he's ready to tape that show. Saturday, the Wrestling Call-In Show with William Morgan and Rage. They will take your calls, talk about everything that's going on in the world of wrestling. I'm sure it'll be a lively show on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, the return of the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb, and they will bring up to speed on what's going on in the comic book world. I want to thank everybody this weekend for participating.
Should give ourselves a hand here.
It has been, without a doubt, a massive, massive weekend. We produced at the end of everything. We've produced this weekend We've produced 19 hours of original programming since Friday night, and I tell you, every second of it has been entertaining. I have not been able to hear everything, but of what I have heard was great stuff. I've been around all day today. Everybody did a fantastic job today with all the shows that were on the air. And the listeners, I can't thank you enough for being a part of this tonight. The chat room's been active all night long, and all day, I should say, because, I mean, really, things started off at 11 o'clock this morning, and it is right now, we are 10 minutes away from 1 a.m., which means this has been going on now for 14 hours. So, so really, I want to thank the audience for being a part of this big celebration. I promise you, we're gonna repeat this again next April for WrestleMania 31. We've already in the planning stages. We're gonna have a 5-hour Surfers Funtime show Friday night, April 4th, 2014, or 2015, I should say, or whatever day it is that you know that Friday lands on. It'll be a 5-hour Surfers Funtime show. And we're gonna have a big blowout for WrestleMania 31 and things like that, and for WrestleManias to come. We've got a great. Yeah, I promised in January that we're gonna have a great year in store for the network, and so far I think I've lived up to that promise. I think we've been producing programming that has just been knocking it out of the park, especially in the last couple of months, and. And I'm not the only one to credit for that. Everybody here, William, Surfer, Phil, and all the guys that participated in all the shows, Tony Seed, Lee, and all the callers and things like that. But I'm still asking the audience. We still want new callers and things like that. And I promise you, we got May 1st coming up. Big deal for us. 1-year anniversary. The 7th anniversary of the rant is coming up in July. We're going to have a special episode of the... We're going to actually have 2 episodes of the rant that will air that week. One probably is going to be an overnight show, which is something we've been talking about for years and years and years to cater to some of the international listeners and so that they can call in and participate. So that's going to be a fun thing that we're going to do. We've got SummerSlam. We've got a lot of things that's going to be coming up in the summertime, and we've got more specials, and we've got just... things that are going to happen left and right on this network, and I hope you stay tuned. And because I tell you, if you thought tonight was good, we got some big things headed coming up here in the near future. So,
my wedding's coming up in June,
and Tony C's wedding's coming up in June. So, if anything, you got that to look forward to. If you're listening
nobody
to this,
nobody allowed with snakes at the reception. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
No snakes at the reception. If there's any part of this broadcast that you missed, give me about 15 minutes, and I will rebroadcast it in its entirety at about 1:05 in the morning. So if you're listening to us live right now and you missed any part of the post show, stick around at about 1:05. We'll replay the whole thing, beginning to end. And like I said, everything is available to download on iTunes by this point. And yeah, so I want to thank everybody in the chat room, everybody listening live, whether it's on TuneIn Radio, on the website, through some other streaming device. I don't know what other things we've got going on right now. And I want to thank
eight tracks, 45.
you know, if you're, you know, still shaking the radio tubes, you know, that's possible.
Funny years.
I
want to apologize to Rage, because you got that prediction so right, and I was so wrong. CM Punk just stole the show. So.
Shut
and look,
up, Surfer.
And look at that. CM Punk will not be on Raw tomorrow night.
And you know, one other thing, when they was introducing the legends in the audience.
Yeah.
Was that the only one that thought they was going to announce Sting name at the end?
No.
No. I wasn't the only one that thought that.
No.
Can I say one thing before we head out of here?
Yes.
Streak is over.
That's it. Any final thoughts before we go off the air here?
Deal with it.
Any final thoughts?
Just a thank you for tolerating me this very hectic weekend. Whatever, you know.
Life returns to normal starting 8 a.m. Monday morning when I go back to work and things like that.
Yeah,
we'll see. We'll see how
draft coverage is coming up this week, right?
We'll see how I function. The draft is this weekend.
NFL draft coverage here on EM Radio.
I guess there's something that I don't know about. Anyways, I want to say thank you to the callers who called in tonight and to our wonderful panel. And we had some excellent discussion tonight. Lee got very animated during the pre-show, and I thought our discussions tonight on this post-show were just of quality. So I want to say thank you to William Morgan, who's signed out a little bit earlier, to Phil, Lee, Rage, Tony C, Surfer. And that's that. We hope you enjoyed the weekend, everybody. Leave your comments, feedback, iTunes, Podbean, Facebook, Stitcher, wherever you want to leave your feedback, or shoot me a direct message. I'm easy to find. We're all easy to find. We're all on Facebook. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Rant EM Radio. We'll see you Tuesday night on The Rant. So, for everybody in the chat room, everybody listening live, I'm AA. Please go to bed. Get a good night's sleep. It is late. We've been at this long time today, so now it's time to go and have a peaceful night's sleep. Once again, we'll see you Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Have a good night, everybody.